Welcome now to the Midday for a Friday. I'm Norman Gilliland back in our Bach studio here at WPR, which means live music. And we have a return visitor to the Midday performing for the hour, Jane Story, who was one of the final Forte finalists for 2004 and also, let's see, in 2022. And you have actually quite a list of things. We could just about fill the hour just reading all of your various prizes that you've won and concertos that you performed with orchestras, but welcome back to the Midday.
Thank you for having me.
And so refresh my memory as to where you are academically at this point with all of these credentials behind you.
Yeah, so I just finished junior year, so I'm going to be a senior in high school in the fall.
In Stevens Point?
Yep, I live in Stevens Point, and I attend some online schools.
And so you have a bit of high school ahead.
Yep, one more year of high school.
Already into the college applications?
Yeah, we'll be beginning that process, I think, starting at the beginning of fall semester. So,
got a first choice?
I'm not really sure at this point, but yeah, okay. Different there's, universities, conservatories.
There's time. Yeah, well, that's exciting. And where have you been performing most recently? I realized the Final Forte wasn't all that long ago, but...
Yeah, so I guess... Pretty recently, I've been fairly busy. I did the Final Forte, and then most recently, I performed with my youth orchestra, the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestras, just about 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, that was probably the most recent thing I did.
And, of course, we've had you here in that capacity before, and
yeah.
I think with the string quartet also.
Yes, with both the Pondrum String Quartet and the Pondrum Piano Quartet.
Wow, you're becoming a semi-regular here. Well, and a treat for us, too. And you have a combination of solo violin and then things with accompaniment.
Yeah, I do.
Starting with the Bach. Now, these violin partitas by Bach, it's all just violin.
Yep.
You are front stage, and it's all you. Does that make it any more difficult to kind of fill these pieces out and make them what you want them to be?
I guess in a sense it is. I guess I'm responsible for the melody and the harmony and everything in between when it's just me. So I guess it could be more complicated in that sense because you have to control everything in the piece. But I mean, you also don't have to You don't have to collaborate with someone else, which is sometimes difficult for, queuing and things.
So I hear.
So there's some things that are difficult and some things that are easier.
And you have picked the prelude and the Gavotte en Rondo from the violin partita number 3 in
yep.
E by Bach. And anything you'd like to say about those before you go into them?
Well, these are some of my my absolute favorite pieces. I actually, when I began to listen to, I guess you could say, real repertoire, when I was about maybe 9 or 10, still in the Suzuki books, this was one of the first, the prelude in particular, was one of the first pieces that I listened to. And I just kind of fell in love with this recording of Hilary Hahn playing it. And it was, such a motivation to me because I always wanted to someday play that piece. So, I mean, it's been so cool to finally get to study it and... just get to make it my own since it's been such an important piece to me.
So we'll hear the prelude and Gavotte from the partita number 3 by Bach, Jane Story, violin.
Thank you.
Like all great composers, Bach knew how to hang on to a good tune when he had one. Get the most out of it. One of his more famous pieces there, that Gavotte on Rondo from the Partita No. 3 for solo violin by Johann Sebastian Bach, the violinist for the occasion, live in our Bach studio this, what is today, Tuesday?
Yeah.
Afternoon. Jane Story, who has many accolades to her credit, including performances with the Madison Symphony, the Milwaukee Symphony, Chippewa Valley Symphony, and of course, the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra's many performances. You came all the way down from Stevens Point to Madison every week for WISO, did you?
Yeah, I sure did. I drove every weekend.
Well, that shows dedication. We will hear more from Jane's story and also from Mendelssohn after this on WPR. The Midday is coming to you from our Buck Studio today here at Wisconsin Public Radio, a great place for live music and a great young violinist providing it. Her name, Jane's story, and having heard some solo Bach, we will hear accompanied Mendelssohn, of course, the concerto, the violin concerto, which gave him so much trouble to write, was for violin and orchestra, but it can, of course, work very nicely for a violin and a piano accompanist. And lest I forget, your accompanist today is Tom Whateley.
Yes.
And you played the Mendelssohn during the final forte, as I recall.
Yes, I did, the first movement, yeah.
And today we're going to have the, you're going to work your way through. We'll have the second and third movements of the total today. And the Andante, a good songful kind of effect. Mendelssohn also had a great way with the tune, didn't he?
Yeah, for sure. Such gorgeous melodies in that movement.
And then what about the third movement?
I mean, it's just kind of running all the way to the end, you know, nonstop, mostly 16th notes, and just very joyous energy. I think that complements the other two movements nicely because, you know, the first movement is so dramatic.
Yes, it
and
is.
Very
yes.
wild. The second yes. movement is very sweet, and then the third movement is just very joyous. So I like the contrast.
Well, that's what these concertos are all about, isn't it? The contrast in the movements. And we'll be getting to our quiz question about 12:35 today so that we can accommodate uninterrupted both of these movements, the Andante and Allegretto non troppo and the Allegro molto vivace from Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor.
Thank you. Thank you.
What a wonderful performance. That was the second and third movements of Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto in E minor, played live in our Buck studio by my guest, Jane Story, who has many accolades to her credit. And I kind of wish that we had, if not television, at least one of those courtroom reporters who could have recorded your facial expressions during the various moods and events of those movements.
Yeah.
From that very sweet Andante.
Oh, yeah.
To the, what would you call it? How did you describe that final movement again?
The third movement? I think I said joyous.
Certainly that. Yeah. Youthful, energetic, headlong.
Yes, for sure.
Great fun, though. Great fun. And we'll hear more from Jane's story, and we'll have our quiz question, too, right after this here on WPR. Yesterday's quiz question went like this. Because of a promise to their father, these two flew together only once. Who were they? They were, as a lot of people seem to know yesterday, Wilbur and Orville Wright. Flew together only once because their elderly father, of course, was concerned that there would be a mishap that would deprive him of both sons. And they, Orville actually, in 1910, took the father up in a plane for his first and only time. And the 82-year-old father said, once they got up there, higher, higher. So he got into it very quickly. But that was yesterday's question. And here is today's. The developers of this condiment could not get the trademark for its name because it was already on the map of England. What condiment is that? Puzzled expressions ripple through the room here. The developers of this condiment couldn't get the trademark for its name because it was already on the map of England. What condiment is that? A very common one today. You see it anytime you go to a grocery store, for example, or I suppose even a mediocrely stocked kitchen, you would see it. So what is it? You can answer the usual ways. You can email your answer to us at midday@wpr.org, or you can call 1-800-442-7106 and give your answer to Amanda. And just before 1 o'clock, we will find out who wins our prize today from among our correct respondents. And in the meantime, we have more music from my guest, Jane Story. Also has been on From the Top. Maybe we'll hear about that a little later. But first, talk about stories. Great stories about Fritz Kreisler. I don't know if you you know about the Great Fraud, I suppose.
Oh, yes, of course.
in which he pawned off, not really quite the right word for it, because they were great pieces of music, his own compositions as the works of other greater composers of the past, because he didn't want his name to be on every piece on the program that he played.
Yeah. including this one.
Right, including this one. So good point there, good segue, Jane. Schön Rosmarin, what composer's style would he be emulating here, do you think?
So he attributed it to Joseph Lanner, who was like a Austrian composer.
Yeah, sure. He was he was a contemporary of Johann Strauss the Elder. So getting into the Ländler business and the proto-waltzes.
Yeah.
So it has that kind of dance rhythm to it?
Yeah, it sure does. It feels very much like a waltz.
Well, all right, here it is, this short little miniature by Fritz Kreisler, Lovely Rosmarin. Thank you. There's another story about Fritz Kreisler, which we'll actually hear tomorrow during Grace Notes, but it has to do with a wealthy matron requesting that after a private performance he not mingle with the audience and what his response was. I'll tell you, Jane, after the show. I'll give you a sneak preview of tomorrow's story from Grace Notes. But that was Schön Rosmarin, one of the famous little tunes of Fritz Kreisler. Have you ever actually heard a recording of Kreisler play this or one of his other pieces?
Yes, that was actually what I mostly listened to while preparing this piece. Was I just found so much inspiration from the way he played it, because I think, you know, if he wrote it, he probably knows best how to play it.
You so, would think so.
Yeah, so a lot of the articulation I used and the ornamentation and stuff, that's all things I found from his recording.
There's a certain elegance to his playing. Yes. Some of the things are sort of, what shall we say, strongly reminiscent of the time in which he wrote
yes.
them. And they have a certain kind of style that takes you back to the 1920s and 30s, but an elegant sort of thing. And as long as we have about 2 minutes before we get to your last piece, which is a substantial one, I'll repeat our quiz question quickly. The developers of this condiment could not get the trademark for its name because it was already on the map of England. What condiment is that? And you've got now 15 minutes to identify it at midday at WPR.org, or you can call Amanda at 1-800-442-7106. So how was it playing on NPR's From the Top? That's really big time.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. So I recorded here in Madison at Audio for the Arts. It was a really, really cool experience getting to take, you know, like a bass take and then take different takes and put it all together. It was really cool.
What did you play for that occasion?
I played another Kreisler piece. I played the famous Preludium and Allegro.
Oh, sure. That's a good one. And later on, those were identified. I think that one, for example, it would say Preludium and Allegro in the style of.
Yes.
Well, speaking of style and certain kind of flamboyance we associate with Henri Wieniawski, who was one of the great violinists of the 19th century and wrote a lot of his own stuff, what do you find in this? Well, Polonaise right away means, think without exception, something fairly up-tempo.
Yes.
Certainly Chopin made them that way. But then when you put the word brilliant on it,
brilliant.
You know, the spotlight is on you, Jane.
Yeah, sure is.
So what are you going to be bringing to this Polonaise brilliant?
Obviously it's a showpiece. It's very technical. There's so many technical challenges in here that kind of drew me to this piece, that I really like the challenging side of it. But it's also a later work of Wieniawski's, so his earlier compositions were really mainly focused on, you know, technical difficulties, virtuosity. And the thing that sets this particular piece apart is he balances that virtuosity with beautiful melodies. And so I like that about this. There's a nice balance between, you know, you get a break and you get to play something nice and pretty, and then you have to go back and play something challenging.
There's some particular techniques that he puts you through in these paces in this piece?
So the big one throughout the piece is the up-bow staccato. And then there's also lots of double stops, running octaves throughout, and high G-string playing too.
So kind of a park horse that you have to go through as the violinist here. So this is the Polonaise Brilliant number 2 by Wieniawski.
Thank you. Thank you.
What fun, you know, that there's catharsis in writing a piece, and I'm sure there's considerable catharsis in, like, getting to the grand finale of a piece like that, Polonaise Brilliant No. 2 by Wieniawski. And on top of playing the violin, rumor has it, Jane Story, that you also play the piano.
I do, yes.
Which one did you start first?
Violin. I didn't start piano until 8th grade, so.
You didn't start violin till 8th grade?
No, violin was, wait, did I say that backwards? I might have.
No, I probably heard it backwards.
Yeah, violin I started when I was 4, but piano was 8th grade.
And what prompted you to start the violin at the age of 4?
I mean, music was always in my life, so my dad is a music professor at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and my mom originally got a degree in music, and so it was just always there. And then I guess after seeing a university orchestra concert that my dad took me to when I was 3, I've just decided the violin was for me for some reason.
That was for you. What sort of things did you listen to in the home when you were that young, other than classical music? Anything else?
I mean, there's always jazz because my dad is a bassist, so he plays classical and jazz.
Well, we like bassists around here.
Yeah.
And so classical music and jazz, there's some nice jazz violinists, too.
Yeah, there are.
And what do you plan to do, though? Now, you're wrapping up your junior year.
Yes.
going into senior year in high school, and this is the time when violinists and other musicians start thinking, well, what are you going to do with this talent of yours and this energy and all this hard work?
Yeah, so I'm definitely definitely going to have a music career for sure. I don't really want to do anything else. So, yeah, I just love music so much that, yeah, that'll be in my future. So, so we're just thinking, you know, auditioning for conservatories and music schools. Just, yeah, looking at majoring in music going forward and eventually having a career in that.
Well, I think you have a career mapped out for you. You can be a performer, you can be a teacher, you can be both. I suppose it's actually more common than not for great violinists
sure.
at least have some students.
Yes.
And as the cliche has it, you also learn a good deal from your students along the way. Somehow they
I'm
have
sure.
insights that you don't necessarily get along the way.
Yeah.
And what are you doing with the piano then?
So the piano, originally I began playing it on just as an idea so that I would maybe pass the preliminary piano classes at in college. But, you know, I just grown to love it as just like a performing, just another instrument to play on. I mean, it's very different than the violin, so.
Rumor has it, yeah. Well, one of these days I'm going to have somebody come in, it could be you, and do a little bit of overdubbing and like play a violin piano sonata.
Oh, that's quite cool.
All on their own, you know. Someday we'll make that happen. So hold that in your career plans, if you will.
All right.
Now to the results of our quiz question. Quiz question for today. The developers of this condiment couldn't get the trademark for its name because it was already on the map of England. That would be a certain condiment developed in Worcestershire. Worcestershire sauce, yes. Could not get the trademark for that reason.